10. Things are falling here. It's on page 558 in your pew Bibles. The title is A Peaceable Kingdom. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eye sees or decide by what his ear hears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Here ends the reading of our scripture lesson this morning. May God add God's blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of this, God's holy word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pregnant pauses. It's often forgotten, I think, that Advent, besides being a time of preparation for Christmas, a time of shopping, making wreaths like our ladies do very well here, hosting holiday church fairs like we do here as well, and lighting of candles as we have done this morning, it is also a commemoration of the last weeks of a pregnancy. Advent, among other things, is a time in which Mary, great with child, struggled haltingly to travel to Joseph's home, to be counted in a government-mandated census, probably having to make frequent stops. All of you who have been pregnant know what that is. And wondering if she would make it there before the baby demanded to be born. Advent, then, can be described as a pregnant pause, most literally. A time of preparation full of import and meaning. A time when the silent suffering of an unwed pregnant teenager, probably only about 15 years old, forced her to travel during her last trimester. And that pregnant pause speaks louder than any prophetic scripture. Mary's acceptance of what must have been a grueling and unwanted pregnancy, as she said in the Magnificat and what Deb read so beautifully for us this morning, speaks eloquently to us as we ourselves prepare for the inbreaking of God into the world, as we prepare for Christmas, literally the Mass, the celebration commemorating Christ's birth. Christ, Mass. The birth of Jesus, which was later to be viewed as a fulfillment of the scripture that I read this morning from Isaiah's prophetic utterance about the future inbreaking of a peaceful kingdom when he says, a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of the roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. The birth of Jesus and this fulfillment in the scriptures comes for the country of Israel, for the nation of Israel, after a long pregnant pause of their own. A pause of over 8 centuries in which Israel waited and suffered many setbacks, but in which it also kept faith with God and endured experiences fraught with meaning and import. In fact, this pregnant pause of 8 centuries was a period like a gestation period, because it was in this time when a period of meaning was provided for the basis for and the leading of the eventual painful birth of the Christian church. Indeed, this birth image is poignantly picked up by Paul in his letter written to the church in Rome a short 50 years after Christ was born. Listen what he says. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This Romans 8:18 passage, in it Paul captures the eloquency of pregnancy, of the womb experience, for the endurance that it takes all of us as Christians to be able to somehow, through all the slings and arrows of fate, to be able to keep the faith. When Mary agreed that she would be the handmaiden of the Lord, she did it with a sense of grace that we could emulate. She did it in tandem with her cousin Elizabeth, who was told she was pregnant at the same time as Mary was pregnant with Jesus. This is another pregnant pause, a time for everyone to get with the program. It is a time not only for John's baptizing ministry to be gestated with Elizabeth, but also a time for Jesus to depend in silent period of gestation to come into this world and find what it is that makes for a savior, for a Messiah. For so long, that is what we have waited, and what Israel had waited for all of those centuries. Advent, then, is a gestation period. It means arrival, obviously, but it also means coming. That's the gestating part, as we prepare once again for the re-arrival of Emmanuel, God with us, God in relation to us. Let us remember as we walk these last few days of the journey, let us remember as we prepare our time for Jesus, to allow ourselves to experience the joy of the celebration of the actual birth, and pause to reflect on the pregnant meaning of the unasked-for suffering of an unwed teenage girl who bounced over rough terrain on a colt on an unwanted journey to a strange town in order to unselfishly give us a gift of unmeasurable and priceless value, the Christ child. To aid us in this reflection, I would ask you to close your eyes and go on a 2,000-year journey into the past with me as you listen to a poem by William Carlos Williams, appropriately entitled, The Gift. As the wise men of old brought gifts guided by a star to the humble birthplace of the God of love, the devils, as an old print shows, retreated in confusion. What could a baby know of gold ornaments or frankincense and myrrh or priestly robes and devout genuflections? But the imagination knows all stories before they are told and knows the truth of this one past all defection. The rich gifts, so unsuitable for a child, though devoutly proffered, stood for all that love can bring. The men were old. How could they know of a mother's needs or a child's appetite? But as they kneeled, the child was fed. They saw it and gave praise. A miracle had taken place, hard gold to love, a mother's milk, before their wondering eyes. The ass brayed, the cattle lowed. It was their nature. All men by their nature give praise. It is all they can do. The very devils by the flight give praise. What is death besides this? Nothing. The wise men came with gifts and bowed down to worship this perfection. Amen. Well, for this hymn.